morning, Emmanuel. And a very warm welcome to you all, including those listening at home. If we have any visitors, please make yourselves known to us. For those of you listening at home, the service is being led by Robert, and Jeff is playing the organ. Our reader this morning is Irene Chesterman, and the prayers of intercession are being read by Wally Knight. There are no new notices apart from those in weekly news. So I will now light the Christ candle and we will have a moment of quietness to prepare our thoughts for worship.
Good morning and welcome. If you want to sing that again, do so at any time, please. That was absolutely beautiful. Thank you. We gather for worship. We are God's people. And in this place and at this time, we know that we are sharing that moment with God's people in every part of the world. And we are grateful for them, for you, for us all. We are God's children, and God walks with God's children. Psalm 119, the long psalm, only one verse of that long psalm as a call to worship. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. May we have that sweet taste in our mouth of God's words for us, guiding, leading, affirming, and correcting as we walk as pilgrims in this time. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So nobody's jealous. We have the two hymn books to be used today. Our first hymn this morning from Rejoice and Sing. It's hymn 102, Praise the Lord, His Glory Show. Alleluia. The peace candle we light, and we think of the people struggling between Ukraine and Russia. We think of the people we presented to you with the amnesty proposal this last month, which were the people of Afghanistan. We think of the struggle of the women in Iran and their challenge to be able to be fully human. We remember Syria. We remember Yemen. And we think of all those places hit also by nature and by human greed affecting the lives of God's children. Hold them in your prayers, because prayer is a powerful instrument in the hands of God. join as congregation in our prayer of thanksgiving and confession, and we'll end together with the Lord's Prayer. We come to you, dear God, the congregation of your people. Help us to settle our thoughts, our heart, our whole being, to enter in communion with you and with each other. Help us, O Lord, to pray with hope. We thank you, dear God. We thank you for an empty tomb. We thank you, dear God, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, dear God, for the church. We thank you, dear God, that you have called us your children. We thank you, dear God, that you've asked us to be pilgrim children. Loving and caring God, you know us in the best of what we are and in the unsatisfactory way we are. You know us in our intentions and our frustrations, in our hopes and in our dreams. You know what we can do. And you also know what we have done and should not have done. We come to you. We give you thanks for all that is beautiful and moving and kind and generous. We thank you for all that makes a small or even a big difference in our lives. We thank you for all expressions of kindness, of patience, of generosity that comes from those we expect it to come from, and it comes from those who surprise us with it. We thank you that you break down the barriers we have lifted of prejudice, of hatred, of believing that we have the answers that have stopped us discovering how you work in the world. We thank you, dear God, for this time of worship that we can have here today, thinking of those who can't be with us, but the time of worship for your people, however they worship you, wherever they worship you. We thank you, dear God, that your calling is more generous, wider than what we will ever understand. We thank you, O Lord, that we have a time to reflect on our lives and a time to confess our failings. We confess, O Lord, for those things that we have done or not done, said or left unsaid, which have left people wondering or lonely or hurt. We confess that we would like to have all the answers, and sometimes we don't listen to those who can help us see differently. We hurt, O Lord, because in this world very few have so much and so many have so little. We confess the way we upset your creation. We confess that through our words or our silences, we can be part of the divisions that exist, of the tensions that are caused, that we replicate words that are racist, sexist, that we can be part of discrimination. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times that we close doors and our hearts when you want them pushed open so that fresh air comes in and truth may be seen and love may be proclaimed and shared. We come, O Lord, as we are, which is not what we always should be, and ask for your healing touch, for your forgiving grace, that we may be made new and continue our journey, you walking with us, us walking with each other, to the glory of your name. And we can say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we can forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We now sing from Sing Praise, hymn 283, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. be seated. And now we will hear the two readings for this morning.
The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 34 to 37. And could be found on page 746, the Old Testament. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order were ever to cease from my presence, says the Lord, then also the offspring of Israel would cease to be a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below can be explored, then I will reject all the offspring of Israel because of all they have done, says the Lord. The second reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, and can be found on page 78 of the New Testament section. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much for leading us in the readings. The choir's anthem this morning are some words set to the music by Herbert Howells. The words are written by a 20th century English poet, Robert Bridges, who was poet laureate between 1913 and 1930. He was a man of deep religious faith, and his anthem says that if you know God, all is well. The opening lines of this anthem are, "My eyes for beauty pine, my soul for God's grace, neither care nor hope is mine, to heaven I turn my face." Let us pray. God of the dispossessed, you teach us to hunger for justice even when the weak are shut out and the powerful turn over in their beds. In the heat of our anger and the bitterness of our complaints, give us the courage to protest, the persistence to pray, and the heart to love. Through Jesus Christ, the true judge. Amen. I begin with a word of apology. Don't ask me how the readings from Jeremiah, the verses, got into the weekly news the way they did. Only the last two verses made any sense to what I'm going to say now. I didn't even read my proper handwriting properly when I sent it in. So the reading really should have begun at verse 27, not at verse 34 to 37. But having said that, I hope it will clarify as we go along the way. But don't ask me how it happened, I have no idea. I've often wondered how many of you, when you read the weekly news on your computer, telephone, laptop, or here in the printed version, go back ever during the week to what years back I started calling thought of the week. If you read it and say, oh, where did that come from, and what's the sense of it, or it does become a thought for the week, you go back to it and wonder. Because often what I will say is connected or inspired by those words. And today I had to smile. The thought for today, as you will find in the weekly news, is written by William Blake. And it says, to some people a tree is something so incredibly beautiful that it brings tears to the eyes. To others, it's just a green thing that stands in the way. And it made me smile because it states the obvious. I was coming back from London on the train on Friday afternoon, and there are certain parts in the sun that were absolutely gorgeous. The trees in the changing of the colors. And there was no need for photoshopping it. There was no need for changing and bringing out the colors. They were there. The dark greens, the reds, the yellows, they were beautiful. And some of them could certainly bring tears to your eyes. Definitely not a thing standing in the way. That led me to the readings. Because I think if we take both readings together, even the part that was added not to what I thought was going to be read, my fault again, I don't think human beings for God are those things that stand in the way. I think we are beautiful and often bring tears to God's eyes, to those who love us, and to other people. In the case of Jeremiah, the reading of Jeremiah 31 is the most wonderful reading. And it's deep in the heart of all Protestants. It is the reading of the New Covenant. A covenant not carved on stone, but carved in our heart, says the prophet. And then the final, where it should have ended, where it says, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. That's where the reading would have ended. And that has often worried me. Because for some reason I don't understand, for years and many, many, many years at that, I believed that by definition, God was a big word, immutable. God was immutable. God never changed. He was, he is, and will be forever and ever and ever. And that's frightening. That is, or it was frightening to me. Unchanging over time. And then, as I grew up, as I began to study, I realized that immutable was not the best definition of God. I knew what they wanted to say, but that's not what it really should be saying. Because I came across a God who was willing to change God's mind more times than one. Thanks be to God for that, I honestly say. Not least the words in Jeremiah, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Now, remembering no more is not the same as forgetting. Forgetting is something that happens to you. Not remembering is a choice. I don't remember where I left the car keys. I don't remember where I put my phone down and have to ask Luana or William to get my phone ringing because I don't know where it is. The last time, it was on the windowsill in my bedroom. And why was it in the windowsill in my bedroom? I have no idea. I could hear it ringing, but I didn't know where it was. And probably things like that, forgetting is not deciding not to remember. What God says, I'm not forgetting, I'm choosing not to remember. If love is what leads God, then changing one's mind is part of life. And God loves. I can go with the definition that God is love. Because true love is a process of reaching out, of loving, of forgiving, of choosing to forget, of starting again. One of the most memorable times where God chooses to change the mind he'd made up is found in the dialogue with Abraham in Genesis 18, a wonderful piece. Oh dear God, if you find, I don't know, let's say 50 believers in Sodom, will you forgive them? Okay, I'll find 50. And if it's not 50 and it's 45, okay, if it's 45. And if it's not 45 and it's 30, okay, Abraham, if I find 30. And if it's not 30 and it's 20, okay, Abraham. And this dialogue continues. The problem was not that God didn't want to change, is that Sodom, as you know, goes down in history as being a selfish brat, a painful brat, and there weren't that many people that God could forgive. In Jonah chapter 3, fantastic story of Jonah, when Jonah gets furious with God, I knew you were going to forgive them, that's why I didn't want to go to Nineveh. That's why I got in the boat and went in exactly the opposite direction of where you wanted me to go. Because you're a loving and forgiving God, and I hate these people, and now you are forgiving them. What sort of God are you? In 4 chapters, the most wonderful story in Jonah. You have others. Deuteronomy chapter 23, 2 very interesting changes of mind. The Moabites, you will have no contact with those horrendous people because when we needed help, they didn't give it to us. So, no contact with the Moabites. How do you explain the story of Ruth? Not only does she come into the story, but she's down in the ancestors of Jesus. I mean, for somebody you're not supposed to have any contact with, well, that's a, I was going to say a U-turn, but that's something different, as you probably heard this week. It was a change of opinion. And then, in Deuteronomy 23, there is the other concept of exclusion. Eunuchs will not be admitted into the people of God. Jump forward, Acts chapter 8. And the eunuch says, can I be baptized? And Philip says, I saw no reason why this can't happen. And he is baptized. Yet brought up with the story that he would never have been part of the people of God. Thank God that God is willing to do things differently when the occasion arises. I find that amazing. I find that much easier to relate to in God than I would with the immutable God. I don't know about you, but the immutable frightens me to death. The loving, caring, and God who walks with us and sees us fully is one I can relate to. God is willing to go a long way in healing the people. Remember God saying in Jeremiah today, I will remember their sin no more. God provides us with a new covenant. How many times did he do the new covenant? The original one? The one before that? Do you remember? The stones that Moses came down from and virtually destroys against the golden calf, they have to be written again. How many of our old chapels have at the front the Ten Commandments engraved? The last time we went to Taunton, when we went with Highworth in Taunton Church, the URC Church, they discovered, they redid the construction, and they discovered that the plaques of the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer, engraved there, very majestic, covered up the most beautiful windows with natural light coming in. Out came the plaques. Do you know what? Nothing happened. There was no lightning from God saying, how dare you move these plaques? They're up there on the balcony up the top. They're still there. You can still read them as you want. And now you can read them with natural light coming into the church. It's a beautiful lit up church. Fantastic. But remember, when God gets very cross the first time in Genesis, and he brings the flood, and then he says, I am putting the rainbow in the heavens to remind me never to do this again. A God that needs reminding? The Jews have this wonderful and beautiful saying that the rainbow is the colored ribbon God ties on his finger, not to forget. Something like the knot in your handkerchief. You begin to wonder, what was this knot all about? And God says, I may want to destroy it, but that rainbow is to remind me not to do so. I love those stories. And today when we celebrate communion, we hear the words, this is the cup of the new covenant. Again, a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. Bread and the cup. What God expects from us is to grow, to develop, to not give up. That's the parable that Jesus tells today. Remember, it's a parable. It's a story with a meaning to it. A judge who fears neither God nor human beings. He couldn't care less about them. I wonder where Jesus discovered that there was a judge like that. But he found one. And this widow, who as a widow has nobody to plead for her, no male, she has to do it herself. So she goes, and she goes, and she goes, and she goes. And she goes, and she goes, and she goes, until this guy is sick and tired of her. He doesn't do it out of justice. He does it to get rid of her. Because he says, I know I don't fear God or human beings, but this woman is driving me crazy. She exhausts his indifference. And so he says, as long as she doesn't come back again tomorrow, I'll give her what she's asking for. He doesn't care. He's just fed up. But God does care. God's not like that judge in any way. He brings justice to those who call on him. He's willing to change so that we develop a closer and more loving relationship. God is willing to renew the covenant. So many times I can't keep track on it. God is compassion. Do you know what compassion means? It comes from the Latin. Con, passio. Con, together with. Passion, suffering. God's compassion is God's suffering with us, as seen on the cross, as exemplified in the Last Supper. God's love will be stronger than stone, than the tablets of stone, no matter where a church decides to place them. So when you look at the illustration in the weekly news today, particularly if you get it on your electronic media, you can see the colors, the brain and the heart together. Not the heart working on its own or the brain working on its own. It's our totality of what God has made us our thinking and our feeling coming together. Remembering, as William Blake said, we just don't stand in the way. We are beautiful in God's eyes. And God, in forgiveness and love, chooses to remember no more and reconciles us to each other and to God. And in the communion, when we take the bread and the cup, we share in the new covenant. We're not a church that uses the word Eucharist. But you've heard of it, I'm sure, haven't you? You've heard of the word Eucharist. Do you know what it means? Thanksgiving. It's a word that means simply thanksgiving. And it's not God thanking us. It's us thanking God. In the broken bread and the cup that is shared, we are made whole. Time after time after time. God is not like the judge. God does not stick to the tablets of stone. God sets the new covenant on our heart, which is beating, palpitating, living, alive, and challenging. That's the God we believe in. And that's the God that cannot be shut up in this room. That's the God we have to proclaim when we leave this place, so that the world may know and not fear. So the world may understand that love is true, beginning with us. Thanks be to God. Living God, we give you thanks for the gift of your Spirit, opening our ears to hear anew, opening our eyes to see anew, opening our hearts to you anew. May we set down the human traditions that hold us back. Treasure the tradition of your word that leads us on to be a people who faithfully forget and a people who faithfully remember. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And some of you may recognize that prayer because it was on our Facebook page from the daily prayer that David puts up every day of the week, in which two or three people recognize that they have seen. It is there. It was a prayer that this week was part of the URC devotionals. And I thought it was the prayer to end this reflection this morning. Let us sing now from Sing Praise, Hymn 307, Sing My Soul When Hope Is Sleeping. Wally will now lead us in the prayers of intercession for this morning.
Dear Lord, we begin our prayers today with some thank yous, forgetting for a moment the barrage of bad news that seems to be coming through to us all the time. Thank you for bright autumn days and colours, for the joy of love and families, our hobbies, and when a plan comes to fruition. We thank you for all who work for the benefit of others, in particular for all carers and those that keep us supplied with our daily needs. We thank you for the NHS and all it does, and also for the memory of our dear Queen and all that she did, said, and represented. Thank you too for all our churches. And may we thank you also for all who produce and supply our food and drink and all that we need. And now we pray for all the needs of our world. We ask that businesses would act fairly and creatively, and for real help for the unemployed. For governments everywhere to act in good ways for our communities and nations. And for those in the media to be giving us all the facts impartially, not forgetting to report all the good things that happen each day as well. We pray for all in education, that it may be a really positive experience, and for new strength each day for everybody working in the NHS. And we ask for people to treasure their health and look after themselves well. We ask too that all our churches may flourish and grow and have a real spirit of unity. And now we pause to think of those close to us that are going through really sad times, and just say their names before you. Thank you always. In your dear Son's name. Amen.
Thank you, Wally. And as a response to our prayers of intercession, now we share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. Loving God, you have created a world where there is enough for all your people. for all people everywhere. We recognize that then this doesn't happen. It's not lack of what exists, but lack of love and empathy and sharing. So as we present the offering today, this which is in the plate, and that which we give in so many different ways, Lord, it may reach and touch the needs of others and challenge the world to be fairer and our lives to be more loving. May it be multiplied according to the needs that you show us, and give wisdom to all those who have to administer this and all offerings. Amen. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. The table is set, and as we gather to share, we remember that Jesus was born of Mary. He lived a simple life on earth. He suffered and died, and on the third day God raised him from the dead, and he is always present with us through the Holy Spirit. In his presence and in the company of the people of God, past, present, and future, we celebrate this supper of the Lord. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst to see right prevail, for they shall be satisfied. Here again the words of the institution of this feast as they were given by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord that which I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us sing as we prepare for communion from Sing Praise, hymn 214, "Blessed is the bread and broken, bread is blessed and broken, sorry, wine is blessed and poured. Take this and remember Christ the Lord." Please be seated. As I said just now, the word Eucharist, which we don't use that much, but we all recognize, is an act of thanksgiving. So let us thank God in prayer. We give you thanks, O God, that from the earth you caused the grain to come for the making of bread, that you caused the vine to yield fruit that we will drink in the cup. We praise you for Christ, the bread of life and the true vine, whose body was given for us and whose blood was poured out for us. By your Holy Spirit, sanctify us and these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread which we break may be the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup which we bless may be the communion of the blood of Christ. Give us grace to know the power of his resurrection, that we may be made one and evermore abide in him. To your praise and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And after giving thanks, Jesus took the bread and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We eat in memory of him. And after the supper, and having given thanks, he shared the cup with the disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. Blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The new covenant for the forgiveness of sins, drink in memory of him. We thank you, dear God, that you call us, that you love us, that you are willing to forgive us, that you nurture us, that you walk with us. We have heard your word. We have tasted the bread and the cup. Help us when we go, that our words, our thoughts, and our actions may transform this world closer to what you will. Amen. Our closing hymn from Rejoice and Sing. It's hymn 613. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. Blessed is the congregation in which believers are encouraged by God's gracious blessing and challenged by God's gracious call to proclaim the good news of Jesus and to live as a healing presence in the world in Jesus' name. May God, the source of life, maker of heaven and earth, graciously reform our lives. May Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life, enable us to live in fullness. May the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, empower us to live for others, so we may graciously and continuously sing the song of life to the glory of the living God. Go in peace to live as God wants us to live and be what God knows we can be. Amen. Thank you.